have any classes today. I went to the spa.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I locked myself out of the goddamn house.
See, the Lord giveth, taketh away.
Yeah.
As you might have noticed from the lack of static, we are back together again.
Yay!
It's very exciting.
Hallie and Stassi are reunited.
Last week we talked about a cult from the 1800s. This time we're talking about a cult so recent it hasn't yet resolved itself.
Yes. A lot of this news is sort of fresh, ongoing, not a lot of things are, like, verified, so everything we're talking about is very alleged today.
Stassi wrote in all capitals at the top of the page, this is an alleged story. However, all of the quotes that we're taking have been verified by various sources, and the testimonials, as we know them, are all true.
Yes. So, we today are talking about the recent news about R. Kelly.
R. Kelly sex cult.
Are you familiar with his work, Hallie?
So, Robert Kelly was born January 8th, 1967 in Chicago, Illinois. He was raised by a single mother in the Southside Projects and had a lot of women moving through his home, relatives, friends of relatives, etc. And he claims that one of them sexually abused him when she was 10 years older than him and he was 11. This is also the year that he was shot in the shoulder while riding his bike. So Southside, rough place to grow up. He eventually went on to school. In 1993, his album 12 Play came out, and by 1994, it had gone platinum. He's also known for hits such as Trapped in the Closet and I Believe I Can Fly, neither of which are about being gay. Both titles sound like they should be.
I once reenacted like an entire scene from Trapped in the Closet just from memory.
That's pretty great.
It wasn't. I felt dirty and ashamed afterwards, but it was kind of funny at the time.
So you know more about R. Kelly than I do.
No, I don't know anything about him. I just know one scene from Trapped in the Closet.
So, 1994, R. Kelly, which obviously is his very minimal effort stage name. That's like if I went by H. George. It's not a stage name. It's like an email address.
rkelly@gmail.com.
Are you telling me that's not his email? So, flying high. He believed it, so he's flying. And in July of 1996, he was involved in a brawl outside of a Lafayette club in Louisiana. He was put on a year's probation after being found guilty of battery. One of the victims of the big fight, Christopher Mahoney, needed 110 facial stitches. So even back in the mid-90s, he was showing very violent temper, just not good at de-escalation. Also that year, 20-year-old Tiffany Hawkins sued Kelly for $10 million and accused him of having sexual relations with her when he was 24 and she was 15. Kelly settled the lawsuit in 1998 for $250,000. That's coming from the Chicago Sun-Times. Also, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, Aaliyah Houghton, a 15-year-old singer protege, and Kelly were illegally married in a secret wedding ceremony on August 31st, 1994 in Cook County. Obviously, you can't marry someone when they are 15 years old. Kelly was introduced to Aaliyah by her uncle, Barry Hankerson, which is a weird name, and for some reason it's just jumping out at me in these notes, 3 years earlier when she was 12 years old.
Jesus.
So he was grooming this girl from the age of 12. My brother is 12. That's a baby.
Yeah.
The marriage was annulled less than a year later in February of 95 at the behest of her family.
Well, yes. So the couple married August 31st, which is actually today.
It is.
That's funny. 1994. And she was 15 at the time, but she was listed as 18 incorrectly by R. Kelly. And then
incorrectly, but I'm sure on purpose.
Illegally, yeah. So since that is obviously highly illegal, and then her family found out, they were like, this marriage is not legit at all. Please delete it.
The interesting thing is, after it was annulled, both participants denied that the marriage had ever occurred.
Yeah.
Despite this, Aaliyah tried in 1997 to have the marriage records expunged. And this happened in the midst of the previously mentioned suit by Tiffany Hawkins, who was trying to use the marriage documents to prove that he had a pattern of, like, sexually abusing underage girls. It was also the year, by the way, and this is one of the creepiest facts of this case, R. Kelly produced Aaliyah's album, and it was entitled
Age Ain't Nothing But a Number, something like that.
Age Ain't Nothing But a Number.
Yeah.
Why not call it I'm a pedophile?
Yes! Right? Like, what the fuck?
I guess it was the 90s? Did people not care in the 90s?
Did they know she was, like, 14 or 15?
She was 15, 16, 17, just a child.
Jesus Christ.
So that was produced, and it was actually pretty well received as an album.
It was very well received. People loved it. They thought it was great.
Later on, we're going to talk about the testimonial of a woman who said that it did not concern her at all. So, Aaliyah actually died in a plane crash at the age of 22.
Yes, so short. She was very young, and it was a very tragic way for a very... aspiring singer.
An aspiring singer who clearly got in with someone who was taking advantage of her ambition.
Yeah, she definitely the wrong person. No one needs to deal with any sort of R. Kelly in their life. After this marriage to Aaliyah that really didn't go anywhere for either of them, he would have a very large scandal in the coming years when he was put on trial for child pornography.
What? Whoa.
So, that's never a good thing. You just never want to be in any sort of situation where that's, like, the charges being leveled against you.
Also, when was the last time you heard of someone getting falsely accused of child pornography?
Yes.
That is not a charge they drop lightly.
Yeah.
I will just say that.
Yes. So, that's horrifying. January 2001, a sex tape is discovered showing R. Kelly with an underage girl.
What's interesting to me is an anonymous source sent this to a Chicago reporter, and he immediately called the police.
Yes. So this tape was sent to this man anonymously. Jim DeRogatis, or DeRogatis, I'm not sure. But, yes, so someone anonymously just sent him this tape of R. Kelly having sex with
a 14-year-old girl.
Yes. August of the same year, so 7 months later, Kelly is sued by a young woman named Tracy Sampson, who is citing alleged underage sex and emotional abuse.
Now, is she the one in the video?
No, she is not. This is a whole different...
Is the woman in the video ever identified?
She is identified. She does not testify against him.
So, this coming out, I guess, sort of like the Bill Cosby thing. More and more people came out to talk about it afterwards.
More will come out now, since it's such a big story now. She was formerly an intern at his record label. Mm-hmm. She alleged that Kelly encouraged her, quote, into an indecent sexual relationship in 2000 when she was 17 years old.
So, yeah, the reason we're talking about all of this, we're talking about these two girls, we're talking about Aaliyah and Tiffany, is to set the stage that these allegations are not coming out of nowhere.
Yes, these have really been... Oh, you're right. It is just like the Bill Cosby thing. It's these women have been saying, hey, this guy's fucked me over... for a while, and they have not been listened to.
So, fast forwarding 21 years to this year. This July, exactly 1 month ago, Kelly came under new allegations.
Yes.
That he is holding young women hostage in his homes in Duluth, Georgia, and his Chicago apartment and Chicago studio, which are in Trump Tower. Big fucking surprise.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you.
Oh my god. It's, well, assholes cling together, I guess.
Clearly. Ugh, disgusting minds think alike. And in these properties, he is refusing to let them leave. This information comes from four women, Cheryl Mack, Kitty Jones, and Asante McGee, as well as...
Geronda Pace. She's the one who I'll probably, like, cite the most.
Okay, I'm going to be quoting Mack a lot, but they were all members, former members, of Kelly's inner circle. And they spoke to BuzzFeed about what they witnessed when they were working for him. Mac, in particular, was his personal assistant for many years. And a lot of the information they gave is just, you know, notable craziness.
All of it.
All of it.
This whole case, I think, so.
There's an alleged six women living under his watch. We don't have the exact numbers because, as she said, Stassi said, this is still an ongoing investigation. According to Mac, Jones, and McGee, they are forced to follow Kelly's every instruction or face physical punishment. Jones describing hit or slapped if she did something that displeased him. The women living with Kelly as of last summer included, and here is our lineup of some truly horrific cases.
Yes. A 31-year-old den mother who, quote-unquote, trains newcomers on how Kelly likes to be sexually pleasured. A 25-year-old woman who has also been part of Kelly's scene for 7 years. A 19-year-old model who has been photographed and publicized with Kelly and named on music gossip websites. An Atlanta songwriter who began her relationship with Kelly around 2009 when she was 19. Now she's 26. And an 18-year-old singer from Polk County, Florida. Max said the Florida singer is Kelly's favorite, quote, his number one girl.
This is a really serious situation, but the way that read out sounds like someone's casting a show about, like, an old-fashioned brothel.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, just they had the ages followed by the description.
Yeah.
So, for more grossness, Kelly calls them all his babies, and they're required to call him Daddy.
Oh, cue the ew. God, that's so fucking awful.
Cult members must ask permission to leave the Chicago recording studio or their assigned rooms in the guest houses. A black SUV with a driver behind the wheel is almost always parked outside all the locations, sort of watching them in case they try to run.
Of course.
Kelly confiscates the women's cell phones so they cannot contact their friends or family. He gives them new phones that they are only allowed to use to contact him or others with his permission.
Oh, God. What? Oh, this is such a nightmare.
This is just an abusive relationship cranked up to 10.
I mean, that's what a cult is, essentially.
That's a good quote there. It's an abusive relationship cranked up to 10.
Yeah.
Kelly also films his sexual activities with them and shows videos to the men in his circle. And
oh, God.
This is a weird quote from Mac, is that they all have to wear jogging suits because he doesn't want their figures to be exposed. He doesn't want them to look appealing. There was an instance where he made everyone face the wall in their jogging suits because he didn't want them to be looked at by other men. I have a quote from McGee who says, R. Kelly is the sweetest person you will ever want to meet, but Robert is the devil.
That's a pretty chilling quote.
It really is. So let's talk about some notable craziness.
This whole fucking episode is notable craziness.
Yeah, we're doing a looser structure now.
Yeah.
So when these allegations came out, BuzzFeed started to talk to the parents of some of these girls who were being held. So there's a girl whose name was withheld. We're going to call her Jane, as in Jane Doe.
Sure. I like it. Witty.
I think so. In 2015, when Jane was 19, she was introduced to R. Kelly after his concert, and the two spent almost 2 hours together talking about her career.
Okay.
R. Kelly started flying her around and promising to help her music career. Her mother, this is the one I was talking about before, was interviewed by BuzzFeed. And she said, I had heard age is just a number, but I never really thought about it. It's just a song. Everyone likes that song.
People, be ethical consumers. Be critical consumers. Just check your shit out before Amen. You just blindly accept whatever's playing on the radio. Jesus Christ.
Ugh. So Jane at 19 has enrolled in college. Her roommate, known by the initials TS because of fear of retaliation.
Sure.
Says that Kelly demanded that Jane dye her hair blonde, lose weight, and quote-unquote whooped her for laughing at a male cab driver's joke. Jane skipped class, eventually dropped out, and cut off contact with anyone outside of Kelly's world. The last time her parents saw her was December 1st, 2016.
So her mother claims, quote, it was as if she was brainwashed. She looked like a prisoner. It was horrible. I hugged her and hugged her, but she just kept saying she's in love and Kelly is the one who cares for her. So since that last time that they saw each other, Jane has contacted her parents twice via text, including, quote, I hate Christmas has to be this way this year. Her poor parents.
There's been a lot of cases like this where they're very minimal contact, if any. This is a cult of that, like, rape culture has allowed to happen.
Why do you say that?
There's this huge power imbalance with this guy who says he's going to make all of their dreams come true.
Right.
And, you know, go along with it. He's famous. Go along with whatever he says. If he says you got to blow him, you go along with it.
Right.
And it's like the boiling water and the frog metaphor. And I feel like because he is famous, like Bill Cosby, like so many.
He can get away with this.
Yeah, like Roman Polanski, just, I think it's all men, honestly. I think.
There haven't been famous movie actresses or singers that
I'm thinking
have
about,
had like numerous sexual allegations against them.
And again, it's because of this culture that like women should have like sub ownership over their own bodies.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I guess Mary Kay Letourneau is the only female like child rapist I can think of. She was that teacher who like slept with that eighth grade student.
I mean, there's always teachers sleeping with their students, which is always fucked up, but that's not what this is really.
So that's, again, I can't really think of another public figure. But I do think it's just, and a part of it is because, as we said earlier, he mentioned that he was sexually abused in his childhood. And some people would say that the cycle continues because of that. But I know many people who have been sexually abused who did not go on to abuse others.
To create a whole cult of abuse. He's doing this because he has money and influence and power. Although, like, you never hear about him. Like, he never, like, I feel like he doesn't make music
anymore. He mostly produces now, but okay. I was reading on the AV Club just the other day, all of his concerts in Georgia and Alabama and Mississippi are going on as planned.
Because I saw there was some concert was canceled or something.
Yeah, there was a protest.
Yeah, I recommend reading Geronda Pace's article for BuzzFeed. She didn't write it. It was the interview with her, but this woman actually broke a non-disclosure agreement that she had with Kelly to talk about her experiences just so that she could, like, get it out there.
It's the floodgates.
Yeah, seriously. She crossed paths with Kelly when she was 15 years old in 2008. She said she had, you know, skipped school every day to go watch the trial. She was 15 at the time, but
the pornography trial.
Yes.
Trial. We mentioned earlier.
Yes. She was 15 years old at the time, but she said she was 18 because they obviously were not allowing minors into the courtroom.
I like how no one checked that.
I know. And she described herself as a super fan and didn't believe he was guilty at all. In fact, she defended him to reporters, and like you can find old articles with her being quoted.
Oh, honey.
Yeah. So someone, like, I guess they just met via like he walked
close
by.
Proximity.
Exactly, and he said hi or whatever, and she was starstruck. Someone on his team contacted Pace on her MySpace page, and sort of brought the two together, and then it just gets bad and it gets sad. And she said she originally she told him she was like 18 or 19, but eventually she did in fact show him her ID that said she was only 16 years old. And he had some quote that I can't find right now. Oh, okay. Actually, I just opened my phone and there was. She recalls, quote, that Kelly told her things were fine, but that she should tell anyone who asked that she was 19 and act like she was 25.
Ugh.
Like, this poor woman. I mean, obviously now, not obviously, but she's turned her life around and, you know, she's back on solid footing. She has a family now, I think, but just so young to just be in such a predatory path, I guess.
And you feel really bad, and that's, again, just, like, the extra sickening level of preying on these girls. Like, she said she was a super fan. She, like, was so focused in on him as an idol, she couldn't believe that he wasn't this great person.
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like a lot of celebrities use that sort of pedestal they're put up on in nefarious ways.
Mm-hmm.
There have been wellness checks done by both the Illinois and the Georgia police at his properties.
Yeah, I think they're called welfare checks.
Yeah, did I say wellness?
Yes.
That's like a health class thing.
So a welfare check, if you don't know, is basically like a family or a friend or anyone who's concerned can be like, hey, my friend lives in this house. I haven't heard from them in a while. Can you go make sure they're all right? Or can you go make sure everyone's mentally stable and competent? Like, we're a little worried. And then the police go and just check up on them just to make sure everything's kosher.
So it's basically so that you don't break into someone else's house and get involved in something that's none of your business.
Yes.
The concerned parents of Jane, of two of the other girls who were not named in the article, asked the police to go check out these properties. When the welfare check was done, the police did not go inside, but a report notes the door was open, house clear, no one there. No further action was taken. That was at the Georgia house. Both places, the women inside, or when they were contacted Yeah. Both times afterwards, women would, like, text and say they were fine, but...
Yeah, so at the welfare check, I guess the police arrived. A woman answered the door, said Jocelyn wasn't there. They FaceTimed with her. She said she was fine again, and she said she doesn't want to speak with her parents still. And her parents are really making, like, a lot of... not headlines, but just a lot of noise about the fact that R. Kelly is refusing to let them see their daughter, which is...
A problem is legally, a lot of these, all of these women are now over 18, so they can't file, Amber Alert.
Yeah.
They can't file an Amber Alert, and also because they're not technically missing, they can't file a missing persons report because they know where they are, they just can't get them out.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation. If you know law, you could probably explain it better than we could, but, yeah, so... That's all we got right now.
I have one more quote. So Tim, who is Jane's father, said, has contacted the FBI, spoken with an agent. Special agent Stephen Emmett has neither confirmed nor denied an investigation into the matter, but Tim and his wife are hopeful that federal authorities will be able to do what the police did not. He addressed a crowd outside of the Cook County Court and said, it's not about my daughter per se, it's about all the girls. It's about my daughter and I understand that, but the abuse that my daughter is actually enduring, nobody should have to go through.
That's our cult this week.
Men suck.
Yeah.
Rape culture sucks.
Yeah.
Do you have any recommendations?
Oh shit, I forgot that that's what we do. I don't have any recommendations. What do you think of my new house?
I like your apartment.
Thank you. In the one room that you're allowed to be in because it's the only clean one.
Yeah. You've been messy our entire lives, though. I don't judge. My recommendation, I guess, would be to not work in food service.
Oh, my God.
That's what I do.
Can you please end this very, very harsh podcast with your story?
I'm going to tell a dumbed down version of it because I still work there.
Of course.
I don't want word getting back and me getting fired because it's an awful job, but I still need it.
Of course.
I work as a cashier at a combination convenience store that also sells and makes sandwiches. When I got there last night, it was my first shift of the new semester.
Sure.
They are cross-training everyone now. You have to be able to work the sandwiches, make the sandwiches, really? And do the cashier. So they had me back learning how to make all the sandwiches, which, again...
I'm sure you loved that.
Oh, I love that. I'm so good at executive function and following instructions. So I'm back there. The manager is supposed to teach me how to do this. The manager shows up completely baked. Then she walks out to her car and falls asleep for 4 hours. The other employee who was there, who had trained for exactly one day more than me, had to teach me how to make all of these. We were then running the store for the majority of the night, and when we tried to close up, we couldn't close up because she was asleep in her car with the keys. 3 times I went out there. 3 times, and I would shake her awake. You shouldn't have to shake your manager awake.
No!
And I was like, manager, I'm not going to say her name.
Yeah.
Manager. We need the keys. We need you to settle the drawer. And she would sit up and hold out the keys, and it was like a scene from Get Out. She just kind of held them in front of her and shook them. She would not give me the keys. She was staring at them the way babies stare at shiny keys. I don't think she knew I was there. I think it was a dream. Finally, we get her inside. We lock all the doors. Another half hour passes while she settles the drawer because she's so high she can't count.
Dude, what the fuck?
Then I had to drive my other coworkers home because they had missed their bus because it took her so long to count the drawer.
Oh my god!
That is my story.
Well, that's a really fun way to start the new year.
So yeah, this is our last first week of school ever.
High five! We fucking did it.
We did it. Almost.
Almost.
Stay in school. Try not to work at food service jobs where people do drugs on company time.
And if you have to get high for your shift, do so elegantly.
And discreetly. Some of us have manners. Be excellent to each other.
And be careful. It's a jungle out there. And do not fall for any of R. Kelly's tricks.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to the podcast one reviewer called Obnoxious and Foul-Mouthed.
Bye, guys.
Bye.